Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's Monday, so I'm taking your questions that you guys have emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Just keep on sending them in. They'll just go to the next week, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If I take your question, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And if you don't get your question selected, you guys also might win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine by typing in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Make sure you guys are subscribed and staying up to date for all the latest information here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review and please consider supporting our show at charliekirk.com/support. Chip in $10, $50, $100 at charliekirk.com/support. It is Monday. I'm taking your questions. We go over cuties. We go over the new pedophile bill in California that I promised I would answer questions about. We go about Trump. We go into Middle East peace and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am taking questions from you. If I select your question, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com, you guys win a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine. New York Times bestseller. Honored to say that. Not a big fan of the New York Times, but let's get to some questions. Here is the first question from Darren from Indiana. Hey, Charlie, what do you think about the movie Cuties on Netflix? Should I cancel my Netflix subscription? Thanks so much, Darren from Indiana. So for those that don't know, there is a new show that is nothing less than pro-pedophile content on Netflix. Some people are calling it child pornography. Hard to argue against that. A growing list of lawmakers are now condemning Netflix over its recently released drama, Cuties. I'm reading from WesternJournal.com, which disgustingly, and without any sort of reasoning at all, they sexualize twerking pre-teen girls. Now, if you even watch a little bit of the clips from it, and I have not watched it because I refuse to watch anything that glorifies or gives credence to child pornography. If you even watch a clip that they're showing on television about it, it makes you sick to your stomach. Now, the question is, why is this happening? Well, first of all, my opinion, before I get into why is this happening, my opinion is it's reprehensible and disgusting, and it's also inevitable. This is absolutely where things are headed. You have to understand, for the moral relativists that have been trying to disintegrate our country for so long, they have told us that they won't go certain areas. They say, oh, the transgender debate, it's really just about people who think they are women who are actually men, or people that think they are men that are actually women. But when we challenge, and we say, what happens when your movement starts to embrace pedophilia? What happens when your movement starts to embrace the most disgusting aspects of our society? And of course, the activists said, oh, that will never happen. Well, what just happened in California is exactly related to the movie Cuties on Netflix. From the Los Angeles Times, Newsom signs bill intended to end discrimination against LGBTQ people and sex crime convictions. My goodness, is this a misleading headline. Not only is it misleading, it is a lie. If you read SB Bill 145, it argues that existing state law should no longer allow judges to be extra harsh on people that were sex offenders when the minor is 14 years or younger. Currently, adults who have been convicted of having sex with a minor in California are automatically added to the state's sex offender registry. SB 145 will eliminate automatic sex offender registration in those cases and give judges now discretion to make that decision. I'm reading from the LA Times that says, Newsom's decision to sign the legislation promises to have both a state and national political impact. along with opposition from Republicans in the state legislature, supporters of President Trump and far-right conspiracy theorists have seized on a bill in an attempt to use the measure as a political wedge issue and a rallying cry, with some falsely on social media claiming that California is legalizing pedophilia. Well, it doesn't legalize pedophilia. It panders to pedophiles and makes it that judges now have leniency of how they enforce sex registry with pedophiles. Let me be very clear. My position on this is not that complicated. If you are accused, indicted, and convicted, those three things, accused, indicted, and convicted of sexual assault against a minor, you should never leave a prison. You're done for the rest of your life. It's that simple. Life in prison. Throw away the key. What California has just done is decriminalized pedophilia. Now, pair that up with the recent movie, Cuties. It seems as if that the Democrat Party and members of the liberal base are more and more interested in trying to normalize child sex crimes than actually defending the interests of the American people or protect children. Why is the left so interested in young children? I don't know. That's a question that I don't have an answer for, but I do have another deeper point, which is exactly why this is happening. You see, this is happening because when a culture or a civilization loses its soul, loses a protection of the innocent, protection of children, then you will get into a state of chaos. We're in a state of societal chaos. And if you're a parent listening to this right now, and you're unaware of what's happening with Cuties or SB 145 that Newsom has now signed into law, boy, you got to ratchet up your activism. I really encourage you to do that. I encourage you to type in SB 145 and read for yourself how in the state of California, pedophiles are now given more leniency. Essentially, Gavin Newsom and the band of Democrats that are in charge in California, they are now going out of their way to pander to the needs, wants, and interests of sex criminals that exploit our children in our country. And that's what Netflix does as well. It's amazing. We as conservatives have to answer for anything anyone does in the entire conservative movement. One person does something wrong, we have to denounce it. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama received tens of millions of dollars from Netflix. Why don't they have to speak out against the child pornography special Cuties? Tulsi Gabbard is one of the Democrats that is not part of the corporate warmonger wing of the Democrat Party, said, quote, Netflix child porn Cuties will certainly whet the appetite of pedophiles and help fuel the child sex trafficking trade. She added, one in four victims of trafficking are children. It happened to my friend's 13-year-old daughter. Gabbard concluded by saying, Netflix, you are now complicit. But Tulsi Gabbard was not finished. By connecting the film to human trafficking and arguing the issue is not getting enough attention. However, isn't it amazing how Alyssa Milano, who's a complete and total fraud, how the activist wing of the Democrat Party that marched in the streets against Brett Kavanaugh, that pounded on the doors of the Supreme Court, that screamed that the world is over because an innocent man was going to go on the Supreme Court, they are dead silent with no activism at all. Now that pedophilia is decriminalized in California, and now that you have one of the top shows on Netflix, Cuties, which is so disgusting, so morally reprehensible, should be illegal, by the way. Should be illegal. It should not be legal to air this. There should be a federal law of some sort that says you cannot sexualize 11 and 12-year-old girls. That simple. And whoever shot that disgusting film, whatever parents allowed their kids to be in that film, whatever producers are part of that film, should all be held criminally accountable. Children are innocent. And what the left has done, and they've always done this, the moral relativists have done this, they prey on children's innocence. But this is all very predictable. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. You're going to see more movements for the normalization of pedophilia in our country. You're going to see more movements for children that continue to be exploited in our country. And so this is not over. Now that all of a sudden we're just seeing, oh, here's one movie and here's one bill in California. Josh Hawley said, Netflix should explain to the public, he's a senator from Missouri, why it is distributing a film, Cuties, that appears to be sexually exploit children and endanger child welfare. Mike Lee said, the exploitation of minors will not be tolerated. Laura Ingram said that she has canceled her Netflix account. I encourage all of you to do the same. I encourage all of you to cancel Netflix, which is now nothing more than a child pornography service. I don't care if they have Tiger King, of which I watched. I also have canceled my Netflix services as well. There has to be a cost for this, everybody. There has to be a price to be paid. Because right now you have the Hollywood cartel and the Democrat political elite that are legislatively and culturally trying to normalize one of the sickest sins that human beings can commit, which is the sexual exploitation of children. And we have been warning against this for quite some time. We being conservatives, we being people that believe in morals. And the left always laughed at us. And you also see this in some of the LGBT gay pride parades, the hyper-sexualization of children. And we've spoken out against it. And the more we speak out against it, the more we are mocked by the activist media. But this is beyond just laughing. This is beyond just a little bit of a problem. This is a moral tragedy that this is allowed to go unaddressed in our country. That now we have on the top streaming platform consumption in America and in the world, Netflix, something that is none other than the most graphic forms of pedophilia you could possibly imagine. It is up for parents. It is up for decent and reasonable people for this to stop. My generation is fighting as hard as we can. I should say my conservative generation is fighting as hard as we can. Where are the parents on this issue? I just got out of a meeting with a couple parents. I was in the suburbs of Chicago here, people I grew up with. They think that Donald Trump is to blame for all this. I had to leave the meeting in like 5 minutes. It was just not even worth my time. They said, well, I don't quite understand how you can support President Trump, who's the one that is perpetuating all this division. I just asked him, I said, do you guys have any idea what's going on with SB 145 or with cuties or anything? Oh, no, none of that's real. It's all just right-wing conspiracy. There are so many adults that have allowed this to happen. And if you do not believe me, just go look up cuties for yourself. Go look up the imagery where they have 11 and 12-year-old girls being sex trafficked, basically, and in some ways being used for monetary gain. So that's my thought on that. I think it should be illegal. I think that anyone associated should be put in prison. I think that the young children in cuties should be given counseling and should be given healing because they are now being used in front of millions of eyeballs for the sickest, most disgusting sin, one of the most disgusting sins and crimes I can think of that is now being normalized by the Hollywood elites and the Democrat leaders in our country. Good Ranchers is an amazing product, everybody. Do you guys want meat delivered to your door? Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. Good Ranchers partners directly with only American ranchers across America to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. I've had this meat sent. It's incredible. You guys will love it. It's 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be and the way it should be. Get America's best grass-fed beef finished directly to your door. Don't forget that shipping is always free and the taste is always delicious. GoodRanchers.com, 100% American beef, chicken, and more. Support American ranchers and support the American economy. Skip the grocery store mystery meat, which is disgusting, and buy direct from GoodRanchers.com. It comes straight to your door. So what do? You go to GoodRanchers with an S.com. GoodRanchers with an S.com delivers your favorite meats. Use the promo code Charlie. You save $20 off. If you guys are looking for some barbecue before the weather turns, if you guys are looking for something to really unify the family around, what could be better than beef from the best ranches in America? GoodRanchers.com. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. And home delivery is always free. GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code Charlie. As you can tell, I'm passionate about it. GoodRanchers.com. Hi, Charlie. I love all your work. My stubborn friend has tried to convince me that no matter what, our country will not be able to turn socialist or fascist. Can you please help me defend this argument as we can see things more fascist already? Sincerely, Grant. Well, first of all, I love your question because I have always argued that we are more at danger of first becoming a fascist country before we become a socialist country. Now, what's the difference between socialism and fascism? They're both cousins of the same sort of collectivist urge to control everything in our country and in our society. They're similar, but they're different in some ways. Socialism is a transition phase from capitalism to communism. Marx talked about this. And if you guys have any questions about Karl Marx, I highly encourage you guys to check out our episode earlier this week where I talked about Karl Marx. It was one of my favorite episodes I did where we really dive deep into the philosophical and political figure that was Karl Marx, one of the most cited yet least understood thinkers, philosophers, and political authors in world history. But socialism and fascism both agree that government should have a bigger role in industry and in human life. Where fascism will differentiate a little bit is fascism will want a small select few of companies to serve the interests of government, the ruling class, but they won't completely nationalize those companies. They'd almost become private-public partnerships. Germany did this in some sense. Some of the companies that a lot of you might enjoy, such as Hugo Boss, such as Lufthansa, such as Volkswagen, all of those were actually companies or pseudo-public-private partnerships that are built together for the quote-unquote betterment of the German people. Hugo Boss designed all of the uniforms for the German military. Lufthansa, of course, comes from the term Luftwaffe. Volkswagen means the people's car. Porsche, Mercedes. Mercedes-Benz made all of the cars for the German infantry and army alongside Volkswagen, but Volkswagen made the citizens' cars. Autobahn, which is the highway in Germany, which is less of a public-private partnership, more just of a highway. Anyway, you still to this day see some of these companies that still exist that started in 1930s Germany, whereas the Soviet Union, we don't have any companies that were there. I mean, they just nationalize everything. So that would be one of the major differences. I would also say that the difference between socialism and fascism, at least philosophically, but not in practice, which, again, I can only go so far on kind of creating theory and thought bubbles on whiteboards. I actually have to go to practice and to history, and I think that's a very important lesson for everyone listening to this, is that it's only so helpful to dive into the theoretical to an extent, but you actually have to get to the applicable. You have to get to the real. And so in the real world, in the actual practice, socialism and fascism feel very similar. Socialism and fascism, when they are put into practice, both require death squads. They both require gulags. They require the absolute destruction of free speech, due process, the individual, and all things that we take for granted here in Western society. So to build this out even further, your friend is worried that we might turn into a socialist or fascist country. We're already turning into a fascist country, which can easily turn into a socialist country. The only difference in socialism and fascism is how you use the gun you have given the government, the metaphorical gun. If you become a fascist country, you can easily become a socialist country almost overnight. And we're almost becoming a fascist country. And it's not because of President Trump. President Trump is actually the true anti-fascist president. Figure that one for an Orwellian lie that all of us have been told. President Trump is the absolute ambassador of freedom of speech, private property, entrepreneurship. He's the defender of different ideas in the marketplace. Whereas the left has actually assumed a much more fascist posture. They're no longer talking about abolishing top corporations. They want to solidify their incumbency. They want to protect the power they already have. So for your friend Grant, have him read a little bit of 20th century history. Have him learn about how quickly China, Cuba, Italy, Germany, the Soviet Union, Zimbabwe, how quickly they went from somewhat functioning, normal countries to be completely disintegrated. There is no guarantee, there is no promise that America will always be free. You have to understand that we are living in real time through an experiment. This experiment very well might fail at any time. It's an experiment that people should be able to say whatever they want, whenever they want to, that they can seek their religion as they see fit, that they can own a firearm if they want to, that the government does not have the right to invade their property, the Fourth Amendment, that you can flourish, that you can travel, that you can speak against your government, that you can sue your government. Eric Metaxas famously talks about the golden triangle. We have the golden triangle of virtue, freedom, and faith. One cannot exist without the other. If you do not have virtue, therefore you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, but you must have freedom to have that faith. And one requires the other. And if you do not have freedom, therefore do you really have faith? It's a very interesting thing to think about. And if you don't have virtue, well, where do you get virtue from? From faith. So that golden triangle is so important to building out the ideas that built our entire society that far too often we take, not just for granted. That is something we say far too often that has become a cliche, but we take it as normal. I had someone say the other day, well, Charlie, they stopped me when I was at a restaurant or an airport or somewhere. They said, Charlie, I like your stuff, but you're a little bit too alarmist when you talk about things that are quite honestly just common sense. It's common sense that people should be able to speak freely. It's common sense that we have private property. It's not as if that's debated at all. What a foolish thing that must be to believe. It's unbelievably foolish to believe that. To believe that what we have here is how it is the rest of the world. We've talked about India before, but I'm reading this incredible book by Vishal Mangdawaldi. I mispronounced his name. I apologize to him. I know him. We're going to have him on our podcast. He's so brilliant. And he talks about looking at the West from an Eastern perspective. Go to Calcutta. Go to Hyderabad. Go to New Delhi. And in the Hindu, Buddhist, Islamic country that they have, go look at the value of human life. Go to most Southeast Asian countries. And go see how they value the poorest people. In the West, we consider it common sense that we look after the least of these. Go to most African countries that don't have Western influence, that don't have a Judeo-Christian ethic or a fabric built within them, where the women have to walk 5 miles outside their village before the crack of dawn to go fill up water, carry it on their head another 5 miles while the man sleeps in till noon. Now you might say, well, Charlie, it's because they don't have technology. Well, we've had plenty of efforts to try to give them that technology. It's not that. It's they do not have the moral system that has been built from the bottom up of a system that understands and reads the Bible, that respects all human beings made in the image of God, that says we need technology because our women are being exploited by having to walk 5 miles outside of the village and 5 miles back while the man abuses her. In a Christian construct, that is not tolerated. It's not allowed. We can lose this gift, this experiment we have been given so quickly, instantaneously. And Grant, I love your question. Congratulations. You've won a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. I get this question all the time. Charlie, it won't happen here. I hope it never does. But in some ways, it already is. Explain to me how Portland is still part of the United States. 100-plus days of riots and arson and looting, anarchy on the streets, the self-censorship happening. If you walked through downtown Portland with a Trump sign, you would get physically berated and attacked. Fascism is already coming. Socialism is basically already here in New York. They've shut down every business. They're going to have thousands and thousands of small businesses go permanently under, of restaurants that will never be able to survive again. So Grant, have your friend read a little bit of 20th century history. Maybe there'll be a little bit more humility of how fragile what we have actually is, but how it can be stolen from us in an instant, but how this incredible society that we enjoy can be shattered in an instant. I hope we no longer have the cockiness of what we have will always be the case. It's very, very dangerous. There's a big problem out there. Our heroes, first responders, they have a tough job to do. And they also have to pay out of pocket for their own gear that they need to do their job. EMS, police, fire, medical workers on the front lines, and even military units deal with constrained budgets and outdated gear. But there's still a job to do, and you need the gear to do it. Hunting for military and first responder discounts has historically required going from one website to another, creating multiple accounts, logins to make purchases, and jumping through various hoops to verify your source. Don't you wish there was one place you could visit that had a carefully crafted selection of deals for military and first responders in one spot? Where there is, it's called GovX. GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands all in one convenient location. GovX honors your service and gives back to your communities. If you're an American of service, a current or former member of the military, firefighting, frontline medical, or law enforcement communities, or the emergency medical, join GovX for free and enjoy a community that honors and gives back to patriots like you. So right now, you guys go to GovX.com, GovX.com, use the promo code Kirk, $15 off your first orders of $50 or more. Use the promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. So please go to govx.com, use the promo code Kirk. Next question. Hello, Charlie. I'm a daily listener, a monthly contributor, and I thoroughly enjoy your show. Well, thank you, and I'll give a small plug. If you want to become a monthly contributor, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar at charliekirk.com/support. So thank you, and God bless you. I live in Southeast Tennessee with my wife and my family. I know several pastors who, with woke ideologies in the area, that are actively trying to plant churches in the middle of black communities to diversify their congregations. I feel they have good intentions, but something seems very wrong about this. Why are so many young and woke white pastors trying to plant churches in the black community? Thank you. Well, first of all, I have no problem with planting churches anywhere, so I just want to be very clear about that. I can't quite figure out why, what drives people motivationally. I'm very careful to try to criticize people's motivations unless they tell me their motivations. I will say this, though, that the virus of wokeism that has infiltrated academia, Hollywood, and the churches in our country is very, very dangerous. If your pastor believes in BLM Incorporated, they are believing something so anti-Christian, anti-biblical, they should resign as a pastor or be compassionately and lovingly corrected. If they believe in the disruption of the Western prescribed nuclear family, if they believe in calling spirits back from the dead, which BLM Incorporated does many different times in the streets of Los Angeles and other places, if they believe that all people of white color skin must apologize for something they did not do, but they might look like somebody who once did that, then they are quite honestly dancing with a racist, anti-biblical, very dark ideology. And so a lot of these young pastors, quite honestly, they do not even believe in the Bible that they speak about. At least that's how it comes across when they give their sermons. They do not articulate any sort of defense for the civilization that gives them the right to be able to profess their faith. They're much more interested in social justice than actually pursuing eternal truth. So that's how I can comment on that one, but I can't. I'm all for planting churches in all sorts of communities, but I also do not want to ever support this idea of white guilt where white people must go into black communities and be black people's savior. I think that is very dangerous and it is wrong. Here's the next question. Aiden from Florida. Hi, Charlie. My name is Aiden and I'm a college freshman. I'm an online and hybrid student, so I rarely go to my physical campus. And when I do, it's satellite one. Are there ways I can still get involved with Turning Point USA? Thank you so much. Absolutely, yes. I didn't read this question beforehand. You guys can go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And just a little side note on Turning Point USA. We're on over 2,000 high school and college campuses across the country. I have traveled over 35 states in just the last 30 days, from Maine to California to Arizona to Minnesota to Michigan to Indiana, Florida, Georgia, you name it, I have been there. We have a country to save, and we are working so hard at Turning Point Action through our political arm and Turning Point USA, our nonprofit arm, our 501c3, to educate young people. We are working to save our republic. It's a republic if you can keep it, which Ben Franklin famously said. We got to do more, everybody. I'm trying to live that out. We have to have more energy. We have to have more spirit. We have to have more sacrifice. We have to give more money. We have to knock on more doors. We have to tell more people about what is happening in our country. And we have to educate more young people. And so for Aiden, yes, go to tpusa.com. And if anyone wants to email me to get involved, go to freedom@charliekirk.com. In fact, I've been wanting to do this. If there's any college student listening right now or any high school student, and you have encountered any sort of liberal bias that you feel is newsworthy or is worthy of going public, you guys can always email me things you are processing, seeing, struggling with, freedom@charliekirk.com. Either myself or our team will do our best to respond to you. I read every single email. There's not one email that comes to freedom@charliekirk.com that I do not read personally. So if you guys are seeing something, you guys are processing something, you see a news article that you want me to cover, a news article you think I'm missing, or something that you gently might want to correct me on, you guys can always email me at freedom@charliekirk.com. But if you're a young person and you are fighting on campus, or you are struggling on campus and you see something outlandish that is quite honestly something that you would hope would get on the news because of how outrageous it is, you guys can email me as well as at freedom@charliekirk.com. I encourage all of you also to go to professorwatchlist.org to find out who's actually teaching your children. Professorwatchlist.org, professorwatchlist.org. Next question from Tana. Congratulations. I might have mispronounced it. Tana or Tana. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Hi, Charlie. I don't really have a question for you because you and Tucker Carlson have answered the 30 plus questions I would want answers for. Well, thank you. But I'm old and this is my very first time voting for a Republican. Awesome. God bless you. This is terrific. Finally got on board. So, well, now that I ponder this email, the only question I can think of is maybe, is Donald Trump a born-again Christian? I don't expect an answer to that, but I hope he is. Thank you very much, Tana. Well, first of all, what an awesome question. I'm so glad you're no longer a Democrat, and I'm glad you're thinking for yourself, and I do have great delight that you're voting for a Republican. So God bless you. I think that's such an important thing. And it's not that voting Republican is the best thing in the world, but voting for Democrat is a really bad thing. So the fact that you're not voting Democrat brings me a lot of joy. Voting for a million abortions a year, voting for protectors of child pedophilia, for letting 18,000 prisoners out of prison in California, grabbing our guns, shutting down small businesses, that's something I don't think any person should vote for. And quite honestly, is something I find so morally reprehensible and culturally questionable. Is Donald Trump a born-again Christian? I don't know. But I can tell you that he has a fondness and he has an openness for the Word of God and for evangelicals and for Christians such as myself. He treats me with such respect. He treats Christians with so much respect. He has done more to protect Christianity and the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ more so than any other president in my lifetime. And for that, he deserves so much credit. Thank you so much for your question. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of all the different cars, it's so impossible to stock all the parts you ever need. If you guys ever go to try to get the parts you need, you're probably very intimidated talking to the person. You don't know the parts. They sometimes charge too much. You might have a Fiat. You might have a Kia Pacifica or XT5. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. But guess what? That's why you have Rock Auto. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than the changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is a family business. They serve auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your new classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So right now, go to rockauto.com, use the podcast name Charlie Kirk. They have amazing selections, reliably low prices, and you know it, all the parts you ever need, rockauto.com. That's rockauto.com, all the parts you ever need, rockauto.com. Hi, Charlie Kirk. If postmodernists believe that a conflict is a manifestation of a power imbalance between groups, can we as conservatives not dismiss this their viewpoint as a power grab masked as virtue? Well, that is a very good question, Eli. Thanks for taking the time to read this and for all the work you do. Thank you so much. Well, Eli, congratulations. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. That is a complex question that would take me about a half an hour to unpack. But I'll do the best I can. So let's just walk through what Eli is asking here, not to get too high level. So postmodernism is a belief system, a philosophical school of thinking, theorized mostly by Marcuse and Jacques Derrida and Michel Foucault. If these names are all just spaghetti to you, that's fine. We'll walk through that at a different episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. We've gone through it before, but repetition is the soul of memory, and we'll dive into that at a different time. But postmodernism is really a belief that there is no such thing as a meta-narrative in telling a story. They believe in frame theory, that everyone has their own truth, that there's no such thing as truth. The postmodernists believe the only thing that really exists is power struggles. So there's really not any sort of individual in society. It's instead white people versus black people, or women versus men, or men versus women. So everything is a manifestation of a power imbalance. So his question is, since postmodernists believe that, can we as conservatives dismiss their viewpoints as a power grab masked as virtue? Yes. Eli, home run. What is Eli really saying is, can't we say to the left, all you're trying to do is get more power by saying that you are the virtuous ones? Absolutely. It invalidates the entire postmodernist movement. The entire postmodernist Marxist movement, and there is some parallel between the two. There's more harmony than I think some people on the left would say there is. We last week had two atheists on our podcast that were very smart, James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian, who took a little exception with the intersection between postmodernism and Marxism. We'll get into that at a different time. But here's really what Eli is saying. Let me make this more simple. Can't we invalidate the wishes of the left by saying they want nothing but power, but are trying to tell us how virtuous they are? The answer is yes. All the left wants is power. The left wants more political power. They want more cultural power. They want more societal power. This is what the Democrat Party wants. This is what the Hollywood elites want. And quite honestly, the thing that makes people that have power more angry than anything else is telling them they have limited power. They hate this. Jeff Bezos hates this. The billionaire class hates this. People that don't believe in God hate this. They hate knowing that there actually might be something more powerful than them. It drives them insane, drives them mad. So Eli, your question is very wise. You're going to live a good life if you're already thinking this analytically. Thank you so much for your question. Next question. Hi, Charlie. Thank you for all the content and what you have done for a beautiful country. If you are in a conversation with a liberal and you need 3 to 5 quick bullet points why Trump deserves re-election, what would they be? I'm looking for quick ways to prove that Trump will lead our country better than the radical left. God bless Mason. Number one, President Donald Trump represents a worldview to protect the United States of America. Ask your friends, do you believe in the end of endless wars, freedom of speech and dialogue and private property and the normal American way of life? President Donald Trump protects all of that. Number two, President Donald Trump is a disruptor to a bipartisan cartel that was destroying our country for 40 years, and Joe Biden represents that mess. Donald Trump is disrupting the status quo that Joe Biden created of endless wars, of neoconservative foreign conflict, of a mediocre economy, of a destroyed middle class, of China appeasement, open borders, and declining middle class wages. Donald Trump is the only thing that has changed any of that. Put all the style away, look at the substance. The third thing that President Trump has done, he's actually brokering world peace. This is the unbelievable accomplishment of President Trump in the last couple months, while the media is just talking about the latest Bob Woodward story. What a dumb story to be talking about, okay? Or the latest Atlantic story. We have dived into both of them. We've already basically disassembled them both. Let's talk about real issues. The fact that the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco have all normalized ties with Israel. But do you know what's really interesting about the Israel issue? Now that President Trump is literally brokering world peace, and the impossible issue that Joe Biden, everywhere Joe Biden looked in the Middle East, we had a new war. Syria, Libya, Afghanistan. Joe Biden is a warmonger. Donald Trump is a peace broker. Let's go a step deeper, though. Let's go a level deeper just about the Israel issue. Do you notice how as soon as Morocco says they want flights with Israel, it happens? What does that tell you? It tells you that Israel has been waiting for this. It tells you that the thesis around Israel that I have been espousing for quite some time, that the great Dennis Prager has been saying, if the Arab countries put down their guns, we would have peace in the Middle East. If Israel put down their guns, there would be no Israel. And we're seeing that happen in real time. That thesis statement that many of your college professors would tell you is incorrect, which is absolutely true, is that Israel has been seeking peace while the Arab world has been seeking conflict. As soon as the Emirates, as soon as Morocco and Bahrain has said they want peace, we now have normalized relations, trade, and nonstop commercial flights. This is a moral thing. It's a good thing that the president is doing. He is uniting the entire Middle East and Arab world against Iran. Iran will collapse in the next decade, and Iran will collapse, and that's a good thing. Not the people of Iran. They're very good people. The Persian people are phenomenal. But the evil Iranian mullahs will collapse into chaos if President Trump is given 4 more years. And the final bullet point, Mason, that I would give is that President Donald Trump is unafraid to tell you hard truths and not carefully crafted lies, unlike Joe Biden. Joe Biden has now been put on defense. Joe Biden has his entire campaign in retreat. Joe Biden has changed his position on masks. He said he supports a universal mask mandate, but he really doesn't now. He said he wants to shut down the country, and he's retreated from that. He wants to shut down the country, but he has retreated from that. He said he wants to ban fracking, and now he has retreated from that. He says he wants to close all the schools, and now he says he kind of wants to open them. No matter what the issue is, former Vice President Biden has retreated and has self-contradicted himself on that issue. President Donald Trump has shown that Joe Biden is nothing more than an empty shell for the sinister, malevolent ideas, the same ones that are passing SB 145 in California, defending cuties on Netflix, the same ones that are opening our borders, that are appeasing China, that want to take your guns. That is who Joe Biden represents. These are his allies. And if any of your friends vote Democrat after all of this, challenge them. Go straight up to them and say, are you okay with this? Are you okay with California Democrats normalizing pedophilia? Because that's what's happening. And look it up yourself. Do your own research. Dive deep into it. I just read you the Los Angeles Times article. This is more than an election, everybody. If you know anyone that is voting for Joe Biden, they might have their own reasons, as misguided as that is. But inform them. Be relentless. Keep the pressure on. Be compassionate. Don't be loud. Don't insult people ever. Do not engage into ad hominem. That is not what we do as conservatives. We are decent. We are reasonable. We do not bully people. We do not attack people. We do not harass people. But we will keep the pressure on and say, hey, come on. You got to admit, President Trump getting Bahrain to open up flights to Israel, that's a good thing. Hey, come on. President Trump ending the Afghan war, that's a good thing. Hey, come on. You see the stock market steadily improving, that's a good thing. You see President Trump passing the First Step Act, the VA Accountability Act. You see President Trump passing Right to Try. You see President Trump standing up for middle-class workers, bringing steel, aluminum manufacturing back to our country, making America the drugstore of the world. Come on, that's a good thing. Do so lovingly and compassionately. Do not raise your voice or else you'll lose the argument. This is so important. Do not lose faith. And thank you, Mason, for that. Please listen to our sister episode, everybody, with the great Candace Owens. It is our sister episode for today. We have a huge week in store. I'm crisscrossing the country. I will be in Southern California at a church in San Marcos, California. If any of you guys ever want to find out more, you can go to charliekirk.com for our schedule. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. All support is matched dollar for dollar by an anonymous and a very generous listener of ours on The Charlie Kirk Show. And email us, as always, at freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get in the running to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give a 5-star review. Screenshot it and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. And of course, get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Thank you. God bless. Talk to you soon.